Good morning, everyone. Well, they've had Viva la Revolucion for 50 years, but now they have Viva la Family, visiting family. President Obama has lifted restrictions on travel for Cuban Americans who wish to visit relatives in Cuba. It's a controversial move, so is any move having to do with Cuba. But at least one group is happy, that's travel agents. Here's Tessie Aral, a Miami-based travel agent. Her company, ABC Charters, is licensed to fly charters to Cuba.
I probably and most likely will have to augment the size of the aircraft that we're using and put staff in place to answer all these calls. Right now, I have five phone lines into my business, and a few minutes ago, all five were busy.
Well, okay. We've got the travel agent constituency nailed down.
Travel agents are voting Obama, but it's not just travel, John. The president has changed the rules on remittances, money you can send back to Cuba, and also telecommunications between the island nation and the United States. With reaction from Cuba and from the U.S., we're here with our man in Havana, BBC correspondent Michael Voss. I've always wanted to say that, our man in Havana. I just got to say it. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Good morning, Todd.
And we've also
was it good for you, Michael, as it was for Todd?
It's one of those titles that always thrills at just being here. I must say, it's such a fascinating country to be reporting from.
All right. Well, we've also got Josh Johnson. He's an anchor and a reporter with WLRN Miami Herald News in Miami. He's been following the story from Miami. Thanks for coming on, Josh. Josh, what exactly does the Obama policy change? And just as importantly, can I ask, what does it not change?
Well, the simple answer is that it changes everything. I can give you the more detailed answer in that it basically changes things in four areas. One, it lifts all the restrictions on family visits to Cuba, generally by broadening the definition of what family is. It used to be that only immediate family could go. Now it seems that people who are 3 degrees of separation away from a family member can also go. So now people can bring second cousins to Cuba. That'll probably be important because there are a lot of younger Cubans who may not share the same kind of passion and antipathy for Fidel Castro that their parents or grandparents might.
Right.
And this gives them a chance to say, okay, we're going to take you to the island and show you what we're talking about. We'll show you why we feel the way we feel. It also takes away the restrictions on remittances, the amount of money that family members in the U.S. can send to their relatives in Cuba. It also takes away some of the barriers to telecommunications because currently American companies obviously can't do business with Cuba. This will relieve some of those restrictions so that phone companies, satellite companies, maybe even satellite radio companies can start to do business. And it makes it easier to send gift parcels to Cuba. So humanitarian organizations, especially some in South Florida that really want to help after natural disasters, should have fewer barriers to doing that.
Okay, but there's still a big not change. The trade embargo has not changed.
The trade embargo is still there, exactly. And that has not really appeased, but that's a good thing for some of the harder-line Cuban exile groups and activists who still believe that the best approach to defeating the Castro regime is basically to just pound it into the ground until it disappears.
All right. Michael, can you give us a sense there from Havana? What's the reaction been on the street and the reaction from the halls of the Cuban Politburo, I'll call it?
There's been no official reaction from the halls of the Politburo, if you like. Surprisingly, in some ways, it was reported on state-run television news last night, and usually these sorts of developments sort of get ignored for a few days. But it has been covered. Everybody's aware of it. There's a real buzz around Havana at the moment. Cubans are really quite excited about it. It's not just that they can see their loved ones more often, and the fact, as we've just heard, that they can see not simply their sons or their parents, but actually cousins and second cousins can get together. But it's also by easing the restrictions on sending money home. Remember, this is a country where the average salary is about $20 a month. So this is going to be an economic lifeline for thousands, probably tens of thousands of Cubans. So that's very well received. The other interesting one is President Obama's described Cuban Americans as the best ambassadors for democracy. And that's been one of the arguments as to why he's eased it. And certainly you're hearing similar comments coming from Washington as this bill is presented in Congress to lift the whole travel ban on all Americans coming here.
Michael, let me sort of gin that up a little bit here. I mean, does this constitute on some level, if we are talking about second cousins and, you know, friends and friends of friends almost coming over and visiting, to a kind of a reverse boat lift from the U.S. that will have enormous cultural significance and economic significance that politically the Castro regime will not be able to ignore?
I think it's a two-way process. Yes, you're going to get lots of Cuban Americans coming over here. Wait and see. You know, I think if were the full travel ban to be lifted and you start to get American tourists, not just Cuban Americans here, that would be an even bigger cultural exchange, if you like. A lot of Cubans are saying, though, that actually, by letting people come here, Cuban Americans will be able to see what it's really like here. I mean, a lot of Cubans argue it's not as bad as it's portrayed in the States, and that, you know, America doesn't tell the truth about Cuba. It's this sort of argument. And so the counter argument is, if they come here, they will get a better understanding of what Cuba is like. And this may actually help to foster, the Cubans hope, a policy of engagement rather than this constant policy of conflict that's been going on since the middle of the Cold War.
All right, Josh, I want to play you a clip from the White House yesterday and get your reaction to it. Listen to this for me. This is Robert Gibbs from the podium in the briefing room yesterday.
All who embrace core democratic values long for a Cuba that respects the basic human, political, and economic rights of all of its citizens. President Obama believes the measure he has taken today will help make that goal a reality.
Josh, what's your reading on the streets of the Cuban American community there in Miami? Do people believe what Gibbs is saying, that this will help make open democracy and political and economic rights a reality?
Some do and some don't. I think it's really important to remember that, like any cultural block in the United States, the Cuban American community is not a monolith. And people tend to think of Cuban Americans in terms of what they see on TV when they're in the streets in front of Versailles restaurant, honking their horns and waving flags and yelling and screaming when they think Fidel Castro's dead. That's not everybody. And there's a lot of Cubans who are particularly younger and those who have never lived in Cuba who still want Cuba to be free, but they don't share that kind of hardline policy view that their parents and grandparents may have. I mean, so it's going to vary.
It's kind of it sounds like what you're saying, Josh, though, is that this is the end of the easy stuff that Barack Obama can do. From here on out, it gets really tough, and that a lot of those people who do have those feelings are going to express them in angry terms.
Well, from here on out, it's kind of push coming to shove mode. I mean, there are some Cuban American lawmakers like Mario and Lincoln Diaz-Balart, representatives, Senator Mel Martinez, the first Cuban American to be in the U.S. Senate, who weren't totally crazy about this idea. Martinez was a little more moderate, but the Diaz-Balart brothers are much more hardline. And so it's kind of the nature of the embargo, whether the embargo is still the way to beat back the Castros. And generation to generation, depending on which generation you grew up in, your view is going to change. I mean, remember, this is a policy that was installed by Kennedy in the 60s, lifted the travel restrictions by Carter in the 70s, reinstalled by Reagan in the 80s, modified by Clinton in the 90s, and tightened by George W. Bush in 2000.
Right. And,
so
and
depending on when you came up, your view is going to be different.
And the president here has given it the old executive order, which means that the political football, the toss back and forth of this policy is still in play until Congress acts.
Or until Castro dies. And, you know, whichever comes first, who knows what's going to happen next. But I think that most people are at least excited that they'll be able to see their families again. Whether or not this is going to do anything for the governmental issue to the Castro brothers, that remains to be seen. Well, and the opinions on that are definitely mixed.
Michael, I want to ask you about the Castro brothers and Fidel Castro and Raul Castro. In some ways, the United States has been Fidel's best friend. The relationship was always so bad that he, like a lot of dictators, was able to blame the U.S., as a lot of politicians do, for problems in their own country. And the U.S. was able to blame Castro for a lot of problems in this country. Does this mean that the U.S. has now sort of semi-officially given up on quote-unquote regime change in Cuba? Is that a thing of the past?
In terms of regime change, has it given up on trying to change the system here? No. I mean, I think President Obama has made it plain in the past that he sees the trade embargo as a lever, if you like, leverage towards greater moves towards democracy and human rights. He's particularly raised the question of political prisoners. So far, under Raul Castro, there have been some small symbolic social and economic changes, but there are absolutely no signs whatsoever towards a move towards greater democracy. Interestingly, on the prisoner issue, from a Cuban perspective, they get very upset and constantly raising the case of five Cuban spies who are serving very long jail sentences in the United States. And recently, Raul Castro suggested that if it was to open up a dialogue in order to try and get talks with the United States, perhaps they should consider a prisoner swap, these five spies, for the political prisoners in Cuba.
All right. Well, thanks. Joshua Johnson is anchor and reporter with WLRN, Miami Herald News down in Florida. Michael Voss, BBC correspondent, and our man in Havana, which is something I always wanted to say.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.